At Ural Pharma, we're your source for high-quality generic products that leverage cutting-edge topical patch and softgel technologies, transforming drug delivery for pharmacists and patients alike. Imagine prescription, non-opioid patches that precisely target pain and deliver relief directly to the source. By utilizing hydrogel or in-drug adhesive technologies, our topical patches offer controlled medication release, optimal concentrations, and a reduced need for frequent administration. It's pain relief without compromise. Fast, safe, and effective. And that's not all. Our softgel capsules, developed with exclusive PearlTech technology, deliver medications in semi-liquid gel capsules, allowing for limited ingredients, improved tolerability, and reduced excipients. Caring innovation runs deep at Ural Pharma. Thanks to our parent company IBSA's ongoing pursuit of novel therapeutic solutions and their expertise in transdermal and topical patch technology, we're setting a new standard for generic drug delivery. To learn more, including important safety information about our products, visit uralpharmainc.com. That's Y-A-R-A-L pharmainc.com and connect with us on LinkedIn.
Listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Welcome to This Week in Pharmacy. I am your host, Todd Urey, founder of the Pharmacy Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Ural Pharma, and I'm excited about working with this pharmaceutical manufacturer. They focus on different type of technologies. One is pain relief. We actually have a podcast out that talks about the technology behind the scenes, which is, I think, fascinating. So you have to listen to that episode. And the reason why I'm mentioning them is there are so many pharmacists that are changing their roles from maybe some of the traditional roles. And manufacturing and pharmaceutical sciences and development is becoming part of that career pathway. So if you are interested in working with pharma, would you reach out to the Pharmacy Podcast? You can send me an email. At my last name is Urey. It's spelled E-U-R-Y at pharmacypodcast.com. I'd love to hear from you and what you're doing. APHA 2024, the post show is out. All three parts are out. That's a record-setting coverage for a conference for us, over 30 different interviews. You don't want to miss it. You go to any of the podcast players, Apple, Spotify, anywhere that you consume podcasts, and take a listen to those three great interviews. There are people on there that we're interviewing about different subjects. Dr. Marcy Strauss from the Maryland Pharmacists Association, Dr. Lauren Simcoe from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. She's a vice president of operations of a technology company that's helping independent pharmacy. Asuka Patel from our Canadian circuit, which we're going to be expanding some of our international coverage and international correspondence. Candace Olushola, Dr. Olushola, is part of our coverage of the APHA 2024. If you don't know her, please follow her on Instagram. Candace Olushola is a superstar in social media and what she's doing in coverage for Pizza Is Not Working. Her last name is spelled O-L-U-S-O-L-A. That's Olushola. Hey, the Pharmacy Today put out information today. This is just came into your email. If you are subscribed to Pharmacy Today through the APHA, that's their weekly magazine. There's an increase in measles cases, threatens elimination status in the United States. This is the CDC was notified that 338 confirmed measles cases from January 2020 through March 28th of 2024, according to some new data. Of those new cases, 29% were recorded in the first quarter of 2024, more than 17-fold increase over the mean number of cases reported during the first quarter of 2020 and 2023. Pharmacy Podcast is constantly reaching out to organizations that can give us additional information on vaccines, as well as what's happening in the markets, as well as our community. So work with us if you'd like to tap into some of our pharmacists covering that. Cluster of illness resembling botulism from possibly counterfeit Botox is also reported in Pharmacy Today. This is under Drug and Diseases. And it goes on to state that Illinois health officials are warning healthcare providers to be alert for patients who present with symptoms similar to botulism. That's scary. The warning from the Illinois Department of Health, Public Health, the IDPH, comes after a cluster of two cases reported in the state of people who received injections for Botox. And that is, once again, that's just another thing for community pharmacies to be aware of. And if people are considering it, just to be aware of those warnings. And you know what? I don't know if that's regional. I have no idea if we track back the actual products and see the source and start digging into, shipping, ingredients, where that stuff came from. But it's curious. Also want to note that the closures of pharmacies across the United States is still taking place. This is not good time in many places for communities that now are without pharmacies and have pharmacy deserts. In Practice and Trends in Pharmacy Today, they note that Rite Aid outlines 53 more closures of different stores. They are going through Chapter 11 bankruptcy as a restructure of the organization. So they're not out. Always enjoy going to our local Rite Aid or a local independent community pharmacy called Brownsville Family Pharmacy here. But our Rite Aid team here in Brownsville, Pennsylvania is wonderful to work with. And I can't wait to see what comes next for Rite Aid. We were talking to Rite Aid at the APHA 2024 conference, and their holistic and natural medicines and supplements is really growing. Their skin lines are growing, and that's no surprise because we know pharmacists are getting much deeper into skincare. The AMCP 2024 kicks off its meeting today out of New Orleans, and there's about 3,400 that are expected to attend the AMCP 2024, the annual meeting of the Academy of Managed Care Pharmacy. It's going to take place between April 15th through April 18th. And there's a lot of activity going on today and this weekend in getting ready for the AMCP. And if you are going, please tweet out to us and hashtag the hashtag AMCP 2024. And we'd like to follow you, take pictures, share with us, let us know that you are there representing pharmacists in whatever sector that you're in. And we could even talk about it on Twerks and This Week in Pharmacy. Hey, we have two incredible interviews coming up. Some of my favorite people in pharmacy, Dr. Shane Jaraminski, who helped to start one of the first effective unions for unionizing retail community pharmacy across the nation. There's activity happening in central United States as well as the Northeast with new signups and pharmacists going to pharmacyguild.org. Once again, that's pharmacyguild.org. And then Bled Tanoe, Dr. Tanoe, who's kind of started it all in some ways. If you link it back to Pizza Is Not Working, started 2 or 3 years ago. We're excited that they are all getting together at the event called Farm at Sea. Go ahead and Google that. Google Farm, P-H-A-R-M, then the at sign and C, S-E-A, and you'll find Farm at Sea event. This is a wonderful cruise event just for pharmacy professionals. We're going to be sectioning off an entire place that we're going to have a mini conference, and the Pharmacy Podcast Network is excited to cover that event. And you are going to have a blast watching us on social media, as well as some of the content that we're going to be talking about there. It's going to be strategic sessions about what's the future of the Pharmacy Guild look like and the responsibility and the accountability that that organization has to set a new level of quality of workforce happiness and joy being a retail pharmacist and being cared about by your employer. And we're going to see where the Pharmacy Guild takes us, but excited about seeing what's happening next with them. And with that, let's listen to the interview.
Candace Olushala, and I am here with the one and the only Dr. Bled. Hello, girl. How you doing?
What's up, y'all?
So we're just here chit-chatting, you know.
I am picking up a really awesome vibe.
Okay.
So I'm having a great time, really. Yeah.
That's so good. Mm-hmm. I'm right there with you as far as, like, the students. I'm really loving the student energy this year, and I want to have them have their voices heard more.
Yeah, and I feel that they're all in a place where they need the tools to be able to find their voice. Some of them are really already super bold about what they're saying. And some of them are still afraid, rightfully so, because they are not yet out of the workplace. And so it's now is the time to raise them, to make things better for them, and to prepare them for what is after pharmacy school, because there's so much going on from every sector of our profession, good and also bad, unfortunately. And even though my primary voice is for community change altogether, my voice is still very much for pharmacy in a whole. So, yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think the students, they're in that weird spot where even the bold ones know that there's a risk there in what that does for how they progress forward in their education, what that may or may not look like when they're applying for jobs or a residency or a fellowship, you know? So if there is a way for us to cultivate what they want to say and encourage the ones that would like to say something, but maybe because they're thinking of all those things, they don't really want to say it out loud.
Yeah.
Even show them that there are avenues to still have your voice heard.
Absolutely.
And get your thoughts out, especially in student organizations.
Yes. Yeah. And to segue into that, we are here today, myself, Shane, and Maurice are here with the Pharmacy Guild, which is really the outcome of the workout that had happened back from September to October, and be able to create a union to give protected voice to the profession. And we had so many students come boldly to our booth, 125, and say, I see you, thank you for what you are doing, and I want to put my name on this petition about safe staffing, increasing technician pay, but also having the right to be part of the union if I choose to. And I think we are already seeing a shift in that population, because they know that we are right now paying a price because we have been quiet. And they don't want to work within that same path. And so they are starting earlier to gravitate toward people who have been very vocal, be part of the association, be part of any type of board of pharmacy meeting, so they can get a sense of what it means to be part of the advocacy world. And funny thing, today I asked many of them, our offer pharmacists tell us that we have to put patients first all the time. And I ask them, what is Dr. Tanaway word? Who do you put first? And they all say, me. I say, thank you.
Yes.
I want you to hold on to that right now.
Yes.
To never let go, no matter what people tell you. Otherwise, you have to come first before anybody is. Yes, it might seem selfish to the other eyes, but if you are not well emotionally, physically, mentally, the people who you're supposed to care for are not going to benefit from the beautiful work that you need to bring within the profession and within the community.
Yes. It's the same concept that we always hear when we get on a plane.
Yeah.
They say, put your mask on first.
That's right.
And then serve the people around you.
Because that's right.
If you serve them first, it might not be as productive. You might not have the ability to benefit anyone else after you've helped that one.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to check in with you so you can help more people. You can be more involved. You will have more energy.
Yes.
So I love that the students are picking up on the the language there of, oh yeah, patients first. And they're going, wait a second, that doesn't make sense because where does that leave me? And if something happens to me, technically the patient is still left in a bind. So yeah, I think even that language that students are starting to help turn in the profession is not just going to benefit this pocket of healthcare. It will resonate through the other pockets as well.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we all have to take care of ourselves first so that way we can take care of our patients and each other well. So this is not just affecting even like our corner of the world. It is spreading and we're being watched.
Yes.
So I, too, personally want to thank APHA for actually sitting in the tension of what this is going to take is the discomfort, and they're receiving it this year in a way that they weren't last year.
Yes.
And I think the profession is feeling it in a way that's like, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, and another really amazing and beautiful thing that happened today is that we had members of a particular chain, if I may say, Walmart, coming to the booth and actually have a conversation with me about what is happening. And it was amazing. It was beautiful. And it was just, this is what we want. We want open conversations so that we know that we can come together. And I was very, I mean, I was just really shocked and really amazed by the honesty to be like, hey, we see you and we hear what you want to do. And I'm not surprised because last year they've done the same thing also. They were really welcoming to us, you know. So hopefully the trend continues as we head toward the end of the conference, but it's been quite a change from last year, and I'm feeling it.
I'm feeling it too. And I think this is really what the movement of hashtag Pizza's Not Working was really about. It was about inviting us to just breathe and let what we've been holding in that's been building up the tension, just let that out.
Yes.
And to even talk to all these different major corporations and say, look, we're not trying to like tear down your system. We just want to make sure that we're having a real conversation. So the real work that is necessary for the safety and health of everyone in the system happens.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's nice that there's like a more invitation of going, oh, we're not against each other. We have to fight together, but we gotta sit at the table. We gotta have the very uncomfortable conversations, knowing that the end goal in mind should be aligned.
Yeah, and I think that that has been one of the biggest misconceptions about the hashtag, is that we are here to destroy and to tear down the profession. I said, no, we know what true community pharmacy looks like. We have been there. We have all worked in that. And that's what we're trying to bring back.
Yeah.
Because community pharmacy is at the heart of public health.
Yes.
And we want the heart to be beating properly, to function properly. And sometimes you have to tear down to build, but you have to be willing to tear down together and to build together. And we know it's uncomfortable to be told the things that are wrong about your policy, about your work culture. But if you care so much about the profession, you will be willing to sit in those hot spaces and be able to say, okay, I got it. Now let's come back to the table and let's build together. And so hear me out when I say this. AI, that's a blatant away. Funder or hashtag is not working. It's not here to work against you. I will tell you the truth because the truth needs to be told. A lie, you'll get it. But ultimately, I want to come together at the table and say, this is what I'm hearing from your people. This is what they want. You have the power to execute that. How can we work in step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever, to get there? I love pharmacy. I love these people. I love the patient. And my heart is in pharmacy, and I want to see you succeed. So come. Yeah, come. So we can work together.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. They're one of my favorite passages is, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Right?
Amen.
Amen. And so this, us knowing the truth, and the truth is not always fun. Mm-hmm. It's not always a pretty truth, but knowing it, mm-hmm. recognizing it, being intentionally aware, and admitting that this is what we all see, mm-hmm. that will set the profession free.
Absolutely.
To be what it was created to be.
Yes.
Which is the heartbeat of healthcare.
Yeah.
Like, and the heartbeat of public health. We were designed from the conception of pharmacy mm-hmm. to be that.
Yes.
And anything that is blocking any passageways mm-hmm. to the heart mm-hmm. kills the system.
Yes.
And we can't have that. So we have to work together.
We do.
Desire to work together mm-hmm. so this heart can beat well and pump the way it's supposed to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yo, Dr. Bled, you're awesome. I love you,
well,
sis.
Well, thank you for being part of my tribe and for just working with me. And you are amazing. I love doing what I do because I have awesome people like you who are also working together and supporting the mission.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, guys, I hope that you enjoyed listening to her and hearing what we have to say, and know that we are here for the profession. We're excited for the profession. We're really proud of where the profession is standing right now.
Yes.
And we can't wait to see what this shift this mm-hmm. year, mm-hmm. show how that's going to show up in the future.
Yeah. I mean, we have had amazing momentum the last year, and it's only March, and I feel like there's so much more coming this year. And I want to be in the middle of everything and just be part of it. Yeah.
Yep. All right, guys. Join us. Be a part of this. Let's get this heart pumping the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening to this episode, and mm-hmm. we'll talk to you guys soon.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. We are dedicated to bringing a myriad and diverse amount of content to you 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week. And it is all driven by pharmacists educating pharmacists, pharmacy technicians sharing, pharmacy professionals helping to build the better and future pharmacy care model. Tune in, go subscribe on all platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, Pharmacy Podcast Network. Thank you for all that you do. You know, I've been in pharmacy long enough, 2004, it's my 20th year anniversary, to remember when associations really didn't seem to work together all that well. And we are on the opposite end of the spectrum now. They really are all coming together. This is the right time to come up with an organization that is looking out for what is the best interest in positioning in the work environments in order to prevent things like burnouts. I am so excited to welcome Dr. Shane Jaraminski, who's helped to organize the first significant union in unionizing and assuring the safety of our technicians and our pharmacists. Shane, welcome to the show.
How's it going, Todd? Hello, everybody. It's Shane, a.k.a. the Accidental Pharmacist. I hope you guys are enjoying the show. It has been amazing so far to see all of the pharmacists.
So I want to do a history lesson for our listeners. Dr. Bled Tanoe writes a passionate post on LinkedIn from a public perspective. It had started in her heart before that, and she was seeing some things happening in her work environment with the pressures on her techs, the pressures on her pharmacist colleagues, on herself, really getting burnout. And
that post took fire under the hashtag pizza is not working. And because of that initial effort in getting that attention, she attracted a bunch of other people that in my eyes are our internet and Instagram and social media stars. And you were one of those people that grabbed a hold of that passion and those words and that philosophies of what she was feeling. Can you tell me about kind of the beginnings of that and how we became, how Pharmacy Guild kind of was born?
Sure. It's been a long journey, but back when Bled wrote that piece and started the hashtag, pizza's not working, it caught fire with all of us. A lot of social media influencers, call them pharmacy, healthcare, social media influencers, are doing it as a creative outlet to talk about the conditions in a lighthearted way. Mm-hmm. But Bled's was so hard-hitting. It was so poignant for so many pharmacists working in a community setting that we said, okay, this is an important topic. And because we have an audience that might be coming to us for some lighthearted humor, for some pharmacy-themed content, yep, that we need to push this out because this is important. And the profession has been rallying around that because regardless of whether you're where you're working, community pharmacists who have spent any time there understand that it's a dire situation. Mm-hmm. If we don't fix the technician turnover, if we don't fix the safe and adequate staffing, we are going to have unsafe pharmacies, and we are going to have patient safety suffer because of that. Mm-hmm.
So when I think of Domino's, and I'm a strategist, I've been in strategy for at least 10 years in addiction recovery, when I worked with New Season, a strategist, thinking of software sales in the pharmacy sector, and of course now in publishing, the efforts of what Pharmacy Guild is standing for, in my opinion, is the middle in comparison to where it started. So where it started and why we're all here today is because the payment way, the way that pharmacy has become paid for, has gone awry. It's gone off the rails.
Okay? Absolutely.
And because of that, when I'm talking to you listeners out there who like macroeconomics, this is a lesson in macroeconomics.
Lesson in macroeconomics,
exactly.
From the Todd Father.
Exactly. From the RX Pod Father. That's right. And the macroeconomics lesson is when you do something that is not natural and it's artificial and it's putting pressures on, hey, let's get as many prescriptions out as possible. Let's crush the workers that are actually doing this so we can get more and more and more and more. And it's really, really focusing more on the profit, the money. That has a human impact. And I don't know if the people that sat behind the algorithms that were being invented 5-10 years ago who were creeping more into profit per prescription knew that it was going to explode. And it exploded 2 years ago, and now Pharmacy Guild, APHA, NCPA, all of these organizations are like, we're not standing for this anymore. You're not one organization, and organizations, aka PBMs, are not allowed to take the profession hostage. And you're not allowed to beat it up just because you want to make a bunch of money. And on top of that, Shane, from a macroeconomics perspective, there's a way to still be extremely profitable and do things the right way.
You're absolutely right. And PBM reform especially, that's the main focus for independent pharmacies right now. One in three pharmacies, independents, are thinking about selling.
Correct.
And I've worked for 17 years as a community pharmacist. I worked for Walgreens, I worked for CVS, and I spent the last six years working in independence. And I can still tell you that genuine healthcare is happening in independent pharmacies, and they are in dire conditions right now. If there's something that doesn't change, I'll give you a great for instance on this. My independent that I'm working at occasionally now is right across the street from a Walgreens, and we used to get patients coming in every other day and say, hey, I can't stand it across the street. I want to transfer my prescriptions. And we used to take everyone because we could help them. We could help them. But now, unfortunately, we have to find out first if we can afford to service that patient, to find out what insurance they have, to find out how many brand name drugs they're taking, because it's an unsustainable business model for you to put out $900 and only receive $850 in reimbursement.
Yep.
No business can sustain that way.
Right.
And we have to fix that because you said it, you hit the nail right on the head in your economics lesson that it's impossible. They've taken us hostage. Mm-hmm. PBMs have taken us hostage.
Yes, exactly.
And it shouldn't
and the
be
patient
like
care hostage.
It shouldn't be. Patient care suffers because of lack of PBM reform.
Yep.
And we're trying to even the score.
So Pharmacy Guild, the future, which I think the momentum's happening, you're not stopping, no one's stopping, it's gonna happen. What I start looking at, I'm always, as a strategist, I always look 5 steps, 10 steps ahead. Let's talk about clinical versus dispensing. There's AI out there. I work in technology, so I work with PrimeRx, I work with RxSafe, I work with Parata, I work with all these dispensing things. I know where we're moving from a dispensing perspective, and the dispensing in and of itself isn't really where a pharmacist needs to be anyhow. So Pharmacy Guild, what are you guys thinking about in the realm of preparing for the intensity that's going to be happening with clinical dig down into disease states, and how do you fit that into making sure that our pharmacists aren't burnt out and starting to stand for policies that give our pharmacists more time with their patients?
For sure. So the Pharmacy Guild, for those of you who don't know, it resulted from the walkouts that occurred earlier. Kansas City walkouts, Operation Spotlight, and Pharmageddon. Because of all the media attention that we had, IAM, which is an established union, it's the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, allocated a bunch of resources to help us launch a national campaign to unionize. So pharmacists in community practice settings or any setting where they feel unsafe, that they feel like patient safety is at risk, they can go to pharmacyguild.org, fill out an interest form, and we will start walking them through the process. I am super excited, and I am just allowed to announce this finally, exclusively, right?
Exclusive.
Right here, that CVS was served yesterday. Omnicare, that services all of Nevada. Omnicare in Las Vegas that services all of Nevada has filed with the NLRB, and 6 weeks from now, we will have our first election.
Holy cow. Congratulations. That's
and there's
incredible.
A lot more of those that are very, very close. So I promise you, you will see it. If you don't hear it here, you're going to hear it all over the country here pretty soon.
That's incredible. It's incredible. So once again, dominoes begin to fall. Where do you want this to take the not only the guild, but where do you want this to take the profession? And you know what? We're speaking. We know, if you're listening and you know there's special, you know there's senior care, you know that there's different sectors. But we're talking about caring for our community pharmacies. Yeah. So where is this taking us?
So we feel like this affects everyone, and we feel this is going to be the beginning, the flashpoint that's going to change everything by making sure we know that there's unsafe staffing in community pharmacies. And we think that the key, and I learned this from paying out technicians during the walkout from the GoFundMe that we had, we learned that technicians are underpaid for their skill set and for the stress and the amount of work that they're doing. So there's constant turnover. And any pharmacist that spent any amount of time in retail knows that if you don't have technicians that stay in role, that are well-trained, that are supporting pharmacists, we will never have the time to do those clinical services, mm-hmm. to do all the other things we're supposed to take care of patients the way that we need to.
Yep.
And by doing this, we're advocating for a floor for technicians for $25 an hour. And that sounds high, but I know that if we have technicians in role that will stay there once they're well-trained to support pharmacists in doing clinical positions. It shouldn't be. I hear it a lot, but I hear that I'm going into clinical and I'm working in a hospital. You very rarely hear that I work at CVS and I'm going clinical.
Right.
And I want to change that. I want pharmacists who have all went to school. It should be
every
like
pharmacist
that.
Is clinical. Yeah.
We're all trained to do that.
Yep.
If we are supported and given the resources and time to practice clinically, we all can.
Shout out to Mike Johnston, who is one of my favorite people in pharmacy, who leads the NPTA and his collective of bettering the environments of our pharmacy technicians, the right hands of our pharmacists.
Mike Johnston from the NPTA has been on the steering committee for the Pharmacy Guild since its inception, and he has been an excellent resource. He is all things pharmacy technician, so shout out to Mike, and he's been a great resource for all of us.
All right, so listeners, go to pharmacyguild.org, take a look at the site. Is there a way that our listeners, if they wanted to reach out to you and talk with you or give you ideas, how do they do that?
For sure. So you can go to the Accidental Pharmacist page on Facebook. That's where the old people do their social networking. Okay. But I also have on every platform, go to Twitter, send me a message. I do have administrators, but I try to answer everybody. I will work with anyone who wants to further the profession, and I'm passionate about many things, and I think this is the first thing we have to fix, but there's a myriad of problems that exist in pharmacy, and I think working together, we can do all those things. I was so excited to meet students here. I was overwhelmed and full. My tank is full after seeing all the students here that were very excited to become pharmacists, because yep. I know it's been a really bad PR year
yep.
for pharmacists, especially community pharmacists.
Yep.
But those students and the fire in their eyes and the things that they wanted to change, we've been having this petition, and we had more students come over and say, yes, I want to be able to have safe and supported pharmacy so that I can practice the way I'm learning to in school.
This interview, by the way, is brought to you by Farm at Sea, which is a celebration event that you're putting and you're part of that's happening in July. Tell us right before we go a little bit about Farm at Sea.
So Farm at Sea is a partnership that we've had that we're doing with RX Comedy, Dr. Maurice Shaw. Our keynote speaker is Dan Schneider from the Netflix documentary.
Yes.
It's July 22nd through the 26th out of Miami, Florida. It's a pharmacy-themed vacation. Yes, you can get CEs. Yes, you can have education, but it's a networking opportunity. It's going to highlight featured pharmacists that are doing big things in their own area, that have non-traditional roles in pharmacy, that are social media influencers, that are small business entrepreneurs. So I am excited to meet everyone who's coming. We have about 150 to 200 people that are signed up right now, but there's still limited amount of rooms available, so you can just Google search Farm at Sea, and it'll be the first thing that pops up, and I would love to see you when we set sail.
Dr. Shane Jaraminski, thank you for being part of the show. We're always going to be ready to support you any way that we can, so thank you.
Thank you very much, Todd. Take care.
Hey, that's it for this week in pharmacy. Thank you so much for listening. If you can share this episode, also subscribe to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. We have so much content ready to go for you. If you think that we're missing subjects, or better yet, if you'd like to help craft a three-part series on something you're passionate about, or even come on This Week in Pharmacy and talk with us about what you're doing in the world of pharmacy, pharmacy care, especially technology. We love technology. There is an episode out before we go I want you to know about called High Tech in the Heartland. It's an interview by the Softwriters team. The Softwriters team's podcast is called Framework Focus by Dr. Mark Fulton, who hosts that. And they talk about experience with lifespan pharmacy in the expansion of COVID-19 vaccines into long-term care, and how important it is to be diverse in the pharmacy services that you offer your community, as well as the employment and the usage of technology and the right technology for your pharmacy versus just something that might have a lot of buzz to it. You really have to pick the right systems, and the robotic processing involved in this episode was quite interesting to talk about. All right, well, that was it. We hope you have a great week. We'll talk to you next week on This Week in Pharmacy. We'll be right back.